So we left off in the previous year discussing the machlekes and rishonim between the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Rosh about what is the status of plucking the feathers off of the chicken in order to enable one to do shechita. So we saw that when it came to plucking the wool off of the sheep, so at the end of the day the Gemara permitted it. And the reason was because there was probably no derais there anyway, because it's considered to be shalei kederach, so whatever possible lisa would have been would have already been abnormal anyway. It's on a derabana, they were matzvot, mocham shchita. But the Rambam said when it came to the plucking of the feathers, so that was much more serious. If we take a look just for a moment back at the fourth of the Marmikomos on the top of the page, so the Rambam writes that in the last line of Abba Of Lo Yimro, one is not permitted to pluck the feathers of the bird. The key was, it's kederach gozeis, that's the normal way of doing things. V'nimtza talush b'yamtiv, and therefore that would be an outright violation in a Torah of gozes and yamtiv, which of course there would be no heter for any reason. So the Ramban disagreed with the Rambam. Quoted so in the Bach Mishnah, the Ramban disagreed and said, no, when it comes to plucking the feathers, it's mutter for a totally different reason. It's mamshach nefesh. There's no way in the world to eat the chicken without plucking the feathers. So what's the difference whether you pluck the feathers before the shechita or you pluck the feathers after the shechita? You can have to do it anyway. So you might as well do it beforehand to make it easier to shecht. So it was that nekuda of the Ramban that became now the subject of a major machlekes in Rishonim, which goes way beyond just the details and nuances of gozes on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it touches on a fundamental question pertaining to Yom Tov, pertaining to how one defines precisely Eichel Nefesh. So whereas the Ramban argued that plucking the feathers from the live chicken is subject to the kula of Eichel Nefesh, it's that point that the Rosh disagreed with. The Rosh said that anything that's done b'chaye ha-behema is automatically not called Eichel Nefesh. Eichel Nefesh means when it's already in the state of food. You take an egg and you cook up an egg, that's called Eichel Nefesh. You take a piece of raw meat and you cook it up, that's called Eichel Nefesh. You take flour and water, you make a dough, you make a cake, that's called Eichel Nefesh. You do something to an animal when it's still alive that eventually down the line in 3 hours when I can eat the animal, that's already too far removed. That's not called Eichel Nefesh. The best we can call that is Machshiri Eichel Nefesh. As Machshiri Eichel Nefesh, so then, not so simple, Machshiri Eichel Nefesh, we have to take into consideration another factor, namely, Efshir Lassos B'Beyod Yom, the halacha is that the only time that Machshiri Eichel Nefesh, means preparatory stages, early on stages, towards leading to Eichel Nefesh, are only permitted if they're impossible to have done before Yom Tov. If they could have been done from before Yom Tov, then they're in fact Asim and Atoros. That was the Rosh's equation, that anything pertaining to a live animal is not Eichel Nefesh, rather it's only Machshiri Eichel Nefesh. So at that point of the Rosh, it now becomes very, very questionable. Not only did the Rosh suggest this principle, but he actually tried to boost this principle by giving a raya. His raya was, we know the Gemara says explicitly, you're not allowed to go out of the tchum on Yom Tov, even to get an animal, even to get a behema. So comes the Rosh and says, why not? Why can't I go out of the tchum to get a behema? Now you see from here that it's not subject to the kulos of Eichel Nefesh, because it's only called Machshiri Eichel Nefesh. So the other later poskim asking the Rosh, they don't understand the raya. They said, what kind of raya is there from tchum into malacha? The halacha is that you're not allowed to go out of the tchum even to get food mamish. Let's say if there's an apple outside of the tchum, so not on the tree, off the tree. I'm not allowed to go out of the tchum to get food even if it's mamish eichel nefesh, because the only thing that we're matah with eichel nefesh is malachas, but not matah tchumin. It's not a very good question why that phenomenon is true. It seems to be counterintuitive. Malacha is much more serious problem than tchumin. And the Torah permits balachas and yantif, and yet the halacha doesn't permit tchumin and yantif. So it's not a good kasha, but it's not a gezer shaila. That's at the end of Maseches Beitzah kasha. Why is it? Why is that phenomenon true that one is not permitted to go out of the tchum even for the purpose of eichel nefesh? But to bring a proof that since you can go out of the tchum to get an animal, you see from here that that's called machshiri eichel nefesh. And then we're going to extrapolate to Geizei, so that's a very, very difficult rush. We're not quite sure we understand the rush. But I call upon him, the yisod that the rush told us was a critical yisod, whether you like the raya or don't like the raya. The yisod that the rush told us was a critical yisod in terms of defining precisely Eichel Nefesh in contrast to Machshiri Eichel Nefesh. And this is important on the level of deraisa, because again, Eichel Nefesh is heta gomer in Yom Tov. Machshiri Eichel Nefesh is case by case. If you could have done it from before Yom Tov, then it's awesome in a Torah. If you couldn't have, so then it's going to be mutter. So the Rosh's Hagdor, the Rosh's new definition that he's defining for us, what's called Eichel Nefesh and what's pre-Eichel Nefesh. Anytime the animal is alive, that's pre-Eichel Nefesh, that's already a tremendous Chiddush. His Raya is highly questionable. His Chiddush is also very questionable. So the Rishonim point out that there seems to be a Gemara in Maseches Beitza that doesn't fit into the Rush's categories in terms of defining precisely what's called Eichel Nefesh and what's merely Machshirin. So if we take a look at the seventh of the Maamar Kamos, so the Gemara in Beitza Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, so it's at the bottom of the page. V'atani, we learned in the Brayse, V'shami Omrim, Eimo lichen tavach v'sakin eitzel behema, v'lo behema eitzel tavach v'sakin. V'shami says that on Yom Tif, one should not have the sheichet. If the sheichet, let's say, is in one place, and the behema is in another place, so the sheichet shouldn't come and carry a knife from one place to another in order to shecht. So you shouldn't, according to Beshami, you shouldn't carry a knife from one place to another, you shouldn't carry a behema from one place to another for the purposes of shechita. You should try to avoid any malachas of outside, any malachas of carrying to enable you to do shechita. And Beisilo says, nah, it's okay. Beisilo says, it's fine, you're allowed to carry one to another, no big deal. What exactly is the machlekes? The Gemara a little bit later on explains that the machlekes here is not on the level of Diaraisa. The machlekes here is on the level of Dirabana, Minav Torah. It's at the Gomer, the Gemara says. Minav Torah, Sechon Nefesh. Even Beshama, who holds that you're not allowed to carry, let's say, Beshama holds you're not allowed to carry a luluf on Yom Tov. Beshama says, you're not allowed to push a baby carriage on Yom Tov. Because their opinion is that only for food proper you're allowed to carry. We don't pass like that. We pass in, since you're allowed to carry for food, you're allowed to carry for other things as well. But even within the worldview of Beis Shammai, they only allowed to carry mamish food. So the Gemara says, this is mamish food. I'm carrying the knife, I'm carrying the animal, I'm carrying things that's a mamish directly related to the food. So that's perfectly okay. The only reason why Bishami says you shouldn't do it because they were afraid that you're going to carry the knife to the behema and you're going to get all ready to shecht, and then you're going to decide at the last minute, nah, you know what, I don't even need this extra animal on Yom Tov. I'll be fine. Who needs the extra meat on Yom Tov? So it's going to turn out that retroactively you carried Shalom Tzarech. You carried for no reason. And Basil says, what are you afraid of? Basil says, if the guy's planning on shechting, so let him go carry the knife. If he changes his mind, we'll deal with it then. So the machlekes Bishami Basil is a very, very technical machlekes. Should we make a decree, a gezeirah midrabbanan, don't carry the knife on Yom Tov, lest you may turn, change your mind and not shecht. The very, very technical, detailed machlekes in terms of how far should we make gezeirahs to protect Yom Tov. But min haTorah, of course you're allowed to carry the knife. Of course you're allowed to carry the behema. You're allowed to carry whatever you want. It's the Eichel Nefesh. Shechita is mutter on Yom Tov. So whatever is necessary to do the shechita, that's called Eichel Nefesh and it's mutter. So on that Gemara, the Ran makes the following observation. The Ran in the 8th of the Maamar Kamos says, Kasidim b'Gemara, b'shami oimrim, ein malichin tavach v'sachin eitzel behema, behema eitzel tavach v'sachin. So we're not going to spend too much time analyzing b'shami. We pass it like, u'beisilol oimrim, malichin zeitzel zeh. The Siddur say you're permitted to carry the knife or to carry the behema one to another. Says the Ran, the punchline, perish rafilu derech v'shisarabim. So he says, even though you're carrying through the street, a main thoroughfare on Yom Tov, the Gemara doesn't make any difference where you're carrying. It sounds like mamish in the middle of a regular street. It's a malacha d'oraisa. It's still mutter. So he asks the Ran, how can it be mutter? V'afagav de'evshad de'avet l'miyesmol. Ah, you could have done it yesterday. Why didn't you bother bringing the knife yesterday? Why didn't you bother bringing the behema to the sheichet yesterday? Afiloachi shari, says the Ran, it's still mutter. Aye, but don't we know that whatever could have been done yesterday should have been done yesterday? Says the Rana, we don't know that. Mishum dotza be'eichel nefesh ketikun eichel nefesh atzmahi v'loke machshirin. So here's the Ran's punchline. The Ran says, carrying food for the purposes of getting this food ready is not called machshiri eichel nefesh. Machshiri eichel nefesh, some of the examples of machshiri eichel nefesh the Gemara gives are a person's knife broke, and now he wants to fix the knife. Or the person's oven broke, and he wants to fix the oven. So that's already a shaila. Is that machshiri eichel nefesh? Was it efshir mibiyod yom or efshir mibiyod yom? But when it comes to carrying the item proper, whatever is considered to be carrying is always considered to be part of the eichel nefesh itself, and therefore we do not categorize it as machshirin. But look at machshirin. It's not machshiri eichel nefesh. And therefore, says the Ran, v'tikun eichel nefesh atzmo afilu efshir lasos mi'ev yontif. When it comes to food itself, let's say cooking food, baking food, one would never say that you have to be careful whether it was Efshim or Yod Yom. That distinction between you could have done it yesterday, you shouldn't have done it yesterday, could have, would have, should have, that's all irrelevant. The only time we draw such a distinction between could have done it and couldn't have done it, that's by machshirin echol nefesh. That's like by fixing the knife, that's by fixing the oven, things of that nature. As the Ran will explain later on. So, look in this Ran, there's 3-4 lines in the Ran, or a couple of very, very important yesodos. So first of all, the Ran is telling us that halacha, that when it comes to machshirin echol nefesh, you have to be careful. You can only fix the knife, you can only fix the oven if it broke on yontif itself. That distinction min haTorah between efshim v'yod yom, in contrast to efshim v'yod yom, that distinction is true. It's a deraisadika distinction. It's based on psukim the Gemara derives from. But says the Ran, it's only true vis-a-vis machshirin. It does not apply to echol nefesh. Therefore, says the Ran, I could have cooked the food yesterday, it's irrelevant. It's still mutter to cook it today. I could have shechted the animal yesterday, it's irrelevant. I could have baked the cake yesterday, that's irrelevant. When it comes to the food proper, echol nefesh proper, it doesn't matter whether it's efshar or low efshar. Just parenthetically, not all Rishonim agree to the Ran. Rashi happens to disagree with the Ran, and the Ramah actually quotes in the beginning of Chaz Yomtiv that our minig is to try to be chayshish for Rashi. We try lechatchila. If you could have cooked from before Yomtiv, you should really try to cook from before Yomtiv. The only time we let you outright lechatchila cook on Yomtiv, says the Ramah, if the food isn't going to taste so good. We assume that usually the food isn't going to taste so good. Although there are some who wanted to argue that Shechta wanted to suggest that maybe Bizman said we have refrigeration, so we have to revisit the whole issue of cooking on Yontif. Maybe it's Efshim Mibiyod Yom. And according to Rashi's Chumra, against the Ran, the Rashi and the Ramos Chumra, that when it's Efshim Mibiyod Yom, you're not allowed to do even Echol Nefesh proper on Yontif as a Chumra Midirabanon. So I think the Olam doesn't assume that way, and I think the reason the Olam doesn't assume that way is because the Ramah himself says that the food won't taste as good, so then it's not going to be true. We assume that food that was warmed up already, that was cooked yesterday, and put in the fridge, and then re-warmed up, Beneinu, chillant on Shabbos morning is not the same chillant as Wednesday night, four nights later reconstituted. We just, in case anyone questions that, we just had this discussion in my car last night. I was driving home carpool from school. So Thursday night, the kids go to Breuer's. So Thursday night, now they're in the seventh and seventh grade already. So in the same building as the high school. So Thursday night they have mishmar in the high school. So before mishmar starts, they have a cholent. It's a minute, it's Thursday night cholent. So some of the boys, even the seventh grades, even though they're not staying for mishmar, some of they linked onto the cholent also. So Thursday night they come into the car with cholent. So they come into the car with children. So I said to the kids, they were, starting to munch. I said, listen, guys, we just leased a new car. Can you please be careful? We don't need children stains on the brand new car. So one of the kids said, all right, no problem. We won't need it in the car. We'll bring it home. So the other one was screaming, but it's going to be cold if we get home. So the other one said, no problem. I'll heat it up in the microwave. So the other one responded, the same lumbus of the Ramah. So the other one screamed, you can heat it up in the microwave. It's not going to be anywhere near as good. I said, this is, Nebuch. What terrible mesivas nefesh for the Thursday night chill. That's going to be, I've chilled off a little bit and they have to reheat it. The kid already was mechavim to the Ramah. When you reheat food, it's not as good. So Baruch Hashem, it's based on that svar that we're mahtar to cook on yantim. Let's get back to the story. So the Ran tells us that the reason why you're permitted to carry the knife or carry the animal on yantif, you can carry the animal on yantif because we don't have to, that we do not define carrying the animal as machshir yechol nefesh, which would have limited our carrying to it only if you couldn't have done it maybe yod yom. Nah, we call it the food itself. That's called baltsob yechol nefesh, kitikon yechol nefesh atzmo v'lokim machshir. That's the Ran's side. But we have Akasha, according to the Rosh, who said that anytime the animal is still alive, it's not even in the parsha of calling it yechol nefesh. That was the whole Rosh's side. The pre-shechita, don't even begin to call it echol nefesh. The best you can call it is machshirin, and that's why the Rosh said it's awesome in HaTorah to pluck the feathers from the chicken before shechita, because the Rosh says plucking feathers before shechita is equal to machshirin. It's not equal to echol nefesh itself. So l'chare, this Ran is going to disagree with the Rosh. It's not the end of the world. If a Rishon disagrees, it's not so terrible. The problem is the Ran had a Gemara. The Ran quoted a Braisa. The Braisa says beferish. It's a mutal lechatchila according to the way we pass like we say hello. It's mutar lechatchila and yontif to carry an animal for shechita. So how in the world could the Rosh argue that anything done pre-shechita is automatically only machshirin. It's no better than machshirin. Versus the befeirish, you're allowed to carry an animal. How in the world can you carry an animal? According to the Rush, the sugya doesn't add up. The Gemara says explicitly you're allowed to carry an animal for the purpose of shechita, even in Rishus Rabbim. According to the Rush, pre-shechita is at best machshirin. It's efshir b'beyod yom. It should be aser. Unless one wants to argue the following chiddush, unless one wants to argue that carrying is different from some of the other malachas that we've been talking about. You know, up until now, we've been lumping together all the malachas in Yontif. We talk about shechita and cooking and baking and kneading and carrying, everything. It's all the same. Either it's echal nefesh or it's machshirin, it's efshir b'yad yom. We've been saying it's one theme permeating all the malachas. One could suggest that hotzah works with its own rules. Hotzah may be so lenient on Yontif, it's so just about almost non-existent on Yontif, that maybe, even though it's efshir b'yad yom, maybe it's still mutter. Maybe hotzah is a different ballgame. Why? What makes hotzah so almost non-existent on Yontif? So if you remember, way, way back we spoke about this. There's one opinion in the Gemara, in Maseches Beitz, that maintains that hotzah is mutter legamrei on Yontif. Not because it happens to be echol nefesh, or because since it's mutter for echol nefesh, it's mutter for other reasons. No. Hotzah is mutter on Yontif because it was never asr in the first place. You know, there are two ways to make something mutter. Either you could say, well, it should have been asr, and we're going to find the kula, we're going to find the heta, we're going to kvetch out. It's called echol nefesh, it's called machshirin, it's called mitoch. We'll find your kula. But there's a better way to make something mutter. To say, you know why it's mutter? Because it was never asr to start with. It was I don't have to explain, why is it mutter to drink water on Yontif? Why? You don't have to come on to echol nefesh. Why is it mutter to drink water? Because the Torah never said it's asr. As we've said countless times, everything's mutter to prove an asr. So there's one opinion in the Gemara that says that carrying is mutter on Yontif, period, end of discussion, not because of echol nefesh, because of mitayich, and because of machshirin and efshirin. No. Carrying is mutter legamre on Yontif. What's the basis for that opinion? So the Gemara seems to quote a pasuk for that, which again, ultimately, we probably reject. What's the rationale? What's the lumdus behind that? So it's probably a throwback to a principle that we've touched on in the past called Hotzah's Malacha Gerua. Out of all the 39 malachas, Hotzah is, in a certain sense, the most lenient of all the malachas. I don't mean in terms of onesh. A person has had the same skill in kares, it's the same isra and Shabbos, but conceptually, Hotzah is very, very different. What makes Hotzah so different? Hotzah is the only malacha that doesn't change the item itself. If you think about it, when I light a fire, so now I have something physical, some tangible change. When I cook up a piece of raw meat, so now the meat is different. I do the laundry, I used to have a dirty shirt, now I have a clean shirt. I write on something, I used to have a blank piece of paper, now I got a sefer. All the other malachas are physical or tangible. You can say there was a shinoi in the chevetz itself. When it comes to hotzah, I took a piece of paper, it used to be inside, and now I take it outside. It's the same paper. Nothing's changed in the item. So hotzah is a tremendous chiddush. It's such a chiddush that Taisus points out in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, that the Gemara raises a strange question about Hotzah on Shabbos. The Gemara says, how do you know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? Vishtei, where does it say in the Chumash, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? So the Gemara quotes this pasuk, and that pasuk, again a pasuk, to show it, to prove to you that there's such a din, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So he asks Tosfos, I understand. The Gemara never asks the question, how do you know you're not allowed to ride on Shabbos? How do you know you're not allowed to plow on Shabbos? Why doesn't the Gemara ever ask that question? Because the answer is, it's one of the Lamates Malachas in the Mishkan. Whatever was done in the Mishkan, so the Torah Shirapeh, Halacha Mashasina explains to us, that's the definition of Malacha. So when the Torah says, L'sasaka Malacha, it's as if the Torah said, don't plant, don't plow, don't cook, don't this, da, da, da. Each one of the Malachas is considered to be L'sasaka Malacha. So all of a sudden, the Gemara wakes up in the end of Masechet Shabbos and asks, how do you know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? What do you need a pasuk for? Taisa says, because even though it was in the Mishkan carrying, there's no question carrying was in the Mishkan. They put things on and off the wagons in the Mishkan, but it's still, I would have said, carrying? That's not a malacha. It's a malacha guru. Nothing changed. There's nothing different. So since Hotzah is such a low level, so to speak, malacha, therefore, I need a special pasuk to teach me that it's asura on Shabbos. So that's probably the background for that sheet that says, on Shabbos, it's not also a chiddush haTorah, but on Yom Tov, in the Chabal Chiddushai, we have no reason to extrapolate the Yisurim of Shabbos to the Yisurim of Yom Tov. The other 38 malachas, which are real malachas, real bona fide malachas, they carry over to Yom Tov. Then you have to negotiate: is it echol nefesh? Is it not echol nefesh? Is it mitaych? Is it achshirin? You have to go through all the details to figure out whether it's mutter or not. When it comes to carrying, carrying is malacha geruah. Carrying There's almost nothing to talk about carrying being Maser on Yantav in the first place. Now, we don't go that far. There was one sheet in the Gemara that suggested that in Beit Zedaf Yud Beis and Aleph. That far we don't go. But we do take that principle, at least the kernel of that principle, there's some degree of truth to that, even the halacha, that carrying is working with its own rules, different standards to permit carrying a yontif. And therefore it's possible that when the Ran says that you can even carry live animals on yontif, don't worry about it, everything's okay, the Rosh would say, I agree to you. Carrying live animals, that's okay. That's hetagom, that I'm not worried about. Because it could be that in the realm of the malach of carrying, even if it's efshir, maybe al yom, that I'm willing to be meichel. That I'm not going to insist on. But other malachas, gozes is not a malach of geru. Gozes is a real bona fide malacha, and as such, gozes is still subject to the regular rules. It's called machshirin, and it has to be efshir, maybe al yom, etc. So the raya that we brought from the Ran that you see clear from the Gemara outright that anything done pre shechita is still eichel nefesh. You can't necessarily bring a raya from carrying. Carrying is just not the malacha to bring a raya brewer from. That's the Magen Avraham suggests, maybe to defend the rush. So when all the dust settles, what we're still left with is a fundamental question. Lamaisa, the Gemara says that to pluck the wool from the sheep is mutter on yantif. To pluck the feathers from the chicken is a major machlekes rishonim. The Rambam says that it's outright asur. The Ramban says, what are you talking about? Eichel nefesh. So the Rosh says, no, that's not called eichel nefesh because it's pre-shechita. Whatever's pre-shechita is not called eichel nefesh. Then you have to pilpul back and forth and back and forth. What is that raya correct or not?
The Rosh talked about bringing the animal from outside the tchum. Right. According to the Ran, do we think that...
No, because the Ran would respond, the hakim being a raya from tchumin to malacha. Tchumin, even eichel nefesh, mamash is also. If I have let's say I have a cooked piece of meat, that's sitting, I have a bowl of children sitting outside the tchum. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to get that bowl of children. Because tchumin, there's no heter of eichel nefesh for tchumin. So the whole raya, the rush was talking a very, very big pella. Why the rush thought to bring a raya from tchumin? The rush is mixing together the rules of tchumin with the rules of malachas, which l'chari not the same. So do we have anything else to salvage this chicken here? We want to go ahead and shech this chicken on Yantif, and we very much want to pluck out the feathers because it's going to make it easier, both in terms of practically for the sheikh, it's going to make it easier. Also halachically, it's going to make it easier because when you shecht, we said that one of the halachah of Moshe Messina is a shechita, is that the knife has to be exposed, b'shas ha-shechita. The knife can't be covered what the time that you're shechting. And the Gemara is a shayla, what if it's covered with something that's growing on the animal itself? What if it gets stuck under the wool, it's stuck under the feathers, and it can't see the knife as it's cutting? So according to one possibility, the Gemara Chul, that may be a problem in the Torah. That may disqualify the shechita. So the last thing we want to do is shecht in an area where it's clumped up with feathers. So we would very much want to pluck out the feathers on Yontif, but the Rambam told us it's also in the Torah, because the Rambam says that it's kederach gozeis, and there's no heter of kederach gozeis on Yontif. So could we possibly come up with another kula? So comes the Ramban and suggested that there was another heter possible. See, we have that part of the Ramban on the Rambam Kamos. It could be that I cut right before that part. Could be the whole. Okay, let's say that part, the Balpah. So the second half of there was a long Ramban. The Ramban comes up with another Svara. Maybe we could permit plucking the feathers off the chicken based on something totally different. Remember when it came to the plucking of the wool, so the Gemara was not sure that it should have been mutal lagamri. It should have been some kind of an issa derabanan over here, whether koitzer or kliachaya or gezes kliachaya, whatever the name of the issa should have been. There should have been some kind of a derabanan here that should have prevented me from plucking the wool on yontif. But we kind of overlooked that issa derabanan because we said it's only an issa derabanan. We're going to override it for the purpose of simchas yontif. Like we have many sugars in beitza that Chazal lifted certain issum derabanan in order to enhance simchas yontif. Not all, but certain. So, in the sugya of gozes, as a tzemer from the sheep, so the Gemara was willing to permit what would have otherwise been a nisa derabanan in order to enhance simchas yantif. So comes the Ramban and says, plucking feathers is also derabanan. How's it derabanan? The Gemara says that it's gozes, deraisa, it's kederech. Says the Ramban, it's derabanan for a totally different reason. What's the totally different reason that it's a derabanan? It falls into the category of what's called the malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. This is a principle we spoke about many times in the past. Malacha she'ina tzricha legufa means I'm doing a malacha, but I'm not doing the malacha for the purpose that it was generally done in the Mishkan. That's at least the way Tosus defines it. So let's say, for example, if a person carries garbage out into the street on Shabbos, so that's not called a malacha d'arai. So why is that? The malacha v'tzah in the Mishkan was done for the purpose of using the item. I want to use the beams, I want to use the crush, I want to use the poles. When a person carries a sefer into the street because he wants to read from the sefer, that's called malacha tzrich legufa. When you carry garbage into the street, when you want to remove the garbage, that's called a malach shen tzrich legufa. If you carry the garbage can back inside, so now you want to use the can again, that's a malacha deraisa. So every time you do a malacha on Shabbos and Yontif, you have to ask yourself, am I doing it for the same purpose, similar purpose as was done in the Mishkan? Why were there gozes in the Mishkan? What was the purpose of gozes in the Mishkan? In order to use the wool. That's what they did. They sheared the sheep in order to dye the sheep, use the wool to make the curtains, to make the tikkun, the different things that were necessary in the construction of the Mishkan. So gozes, hamalacha, gozes at tzricha legufa means when you're removing something growing on the animal for the purpose of using that item. What if you're removing something from the animal because it's in the way? Because it's blocking you from shechting properly. You're going to take, what are you going to do with this wool? You throw it into the garbage. What are you going to do with these feathers? You're going to throw them into the garbage. If you pluck a feather to use it as a sefer, you want to write a sefer Torah with, that's a malacha tzricha legufa. But if you, I haven't seen too many chicken feathers that you're going to do anything with, because you want to make a pillow with them. Okay, you want to make a pillow with them, or goose feathers, that would be a malacha tzricha legufa. But if your goal is just to pluck them off and throw them right into the garbage, that's called the malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. So comes the Ramban and says, that should be another mitigating factor. Why? It's only Derabbanan anyway. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon that Malacha She'en Tzrich Legufa is only also awesome in Derabbanan, and it's only Derabbanan. They lifted the Yisad Derabbanan the same way they lifted the Yisad Derabbanan of Gozes as a Tzemer, since it was Kiliach Hayad. They were mata the Yisr of Kiliach Hayad, the Yisr of doing things in an abnormal way. That is the Derabbanan. They were mata the Tzerech Echel Nefesh. So too, they were mata the Malacha She'en Tzrich Legufa the Tzerech Echel Nefesh. That's the Ramban's theory. So if that's the case, if that's the Ramban's argument to be Mekel, then it's not a great surprise that the Rambam didn't buy into that argument, because the Rambam happens to be the Rishon who paskins that Malacha She'en Tzrich Legufa is Chayav. It's a Machlekes HaTanoim, and most of the Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Shimon that it's Potter, and the Rambam is the lone Rishon, one of the very few Rishonim who paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, based on his understanding of different sugars in Shabbos, that Malacha She'en Tzrich Legufa is in fact going to be Chayav. So you can't ask a kasha in the Rambam, how come you weren't mata the plucking of the feathers? What happened to Malacha She'en Tzrich Legufa? The Rambam would say, you can't ask me that kasha, I hold that as deraisa. But comes the Rosh, another Rishonim, and say, we could disagree with the Ramban for another reason. We could argue that the Ramban is right, that Malacha She'en Tzrich Legufa is the Rabbanon, but his comparison from one Derabbanon to another is questionable. We have a rule, many Rishonim say by the Rabbanons, ein kol ha-shvusim shavim. We have no right to jump and say, well, if Chazal permitted this Issa d'Rabbanan for this reason, then they probably permitted another Issa d'Rabbanan for the same reason. We have no way of gauging, in terms of Issurim d'Rabbanan, some Issurim d'Rabbanan may be more chomer one than another. We've already seen this in many cases. Amir Liakum is a very low-level Issa d'Rabbanan because it doesn't involve an action on behalf of the Jew. But whenever you have Issurim d'Rabbanan that do involve an action on behalf of the Jew, how would you begin to measure the Issa d'Rabbanan of Kiliach Hayad, doing things in an abnormal fashion, in contrast to the Yisra Derabbanan of Malacha She'en Tzrich Legufa, doing something for a different purpose. How do you know? This is Derabbanan, this is Derabbanan. What gives you, how do you have Ruach HaKodesh to know that the two Derabbanans are equal to one another? Maybe one Derabbanan, Chazal viewed as being more strict, the other was a little bit more lenient. Therefore, the one that was more lenient, they were willing to forego in a situation of Eichel Nefesh. Somebody that was stricter, maybe they weren't about there. So you have no Im Ledamo Shvusin Zulazu. That's what many Rishonim say. So therefore, the Rosh says, we're going to have issues plucking these feathers on multiple levels. Things on a level of deraisa, we can't be matrit because it's called machshir echel nefesh. That was the Rosh's first idea. To turn around and say, well, it's only a derabbanan anyway, let's permit it based on malach she'en tzrich legufa, for simchas yontif. We have no precedent to say that. And kal v'chaymer, according to the Rambam, that malach she'en tzrich legufa is a deraisa, obviously there would be no precedent to say that. So when all the dust settles, we have a major machlokes in the Rishon about the plucking of the feathers of the chicken. So I think if we saw one thing that permeates this entire sugya, is that even though this sugya itself is a classic example in Hilchos Shabbos of something probably none of us will ever ask such a shot in our lives. None of us can want to shear a sheep on Yontif. None of us are plucking our chickens on Yontif. None of these real shayos are going to come up. But the principles, the yesodos behind these shilas are so basic, so fundamental. We spoke about four or five different fundamental yesodos principles. We spoke about some very basic questions in terms of in terms of definitions of Malach of Geizeis, definitions of Malach of Kotzer. We spoke about the issue earlier in the week about Toldos and Avos, in terms of Hilcha Shabbos, in terms of other areas of Halacha, how this plays out. We spoke about the principles of Kiliyach Hayad, the Eglei Tal, two different kinds of Kiliyach Hayads. That's something that permeates many, many areas in Hilcha Shabbos. We spoke about definitions of Eichel Nefesh, in contrast to Machshiri Eichel Nefesh, Yisodos that touch upon the very basic principles of Hilchas Yom Tov. We spoke about Efshir versus Eefshir. We spoke about Hotzah Malacha Gerua. Now, finally, we concluded with Malacha Shen Tzrich Legufa. Again, obviously something that's very, very important in terms of Shabbos and Yom Tov in general. And the further question of, in the realm of the Rabbanans, can we just jump and compare, jump from one Rabbanan to another Rabbanan? A very, very basic question in this sugi as well. So we had a good 6, 7, 8 different Yisodistic principles. If you wanted to start learning Hilchos Shabbos, it would be a good place to start. Goes is a good malacha, because even though the sugi itself is not too relevant, lemaisa, but the Yisodis are very, very much relevant. Hopefully, Me'etz Hashem, next week we're going to continue with the malacha of Geizeis, but now we're going to take some of the things that we spoke about now and move into some real lemaisa, into the realm of real lemaisa shailas, namely, where Gozer speaks to each and every one of us. It doesn't speak to us with sheep and feathers and chickens, but it does speak to us with cutting hair and cutting nails from human beings, which are also potential issues of Gozer's. So hopefully that's Hashem next week. And now that we got the Yisodas down, hopefully next week we'll be able to apply some of these principles even more than mice in terms of our own care of our own bodies on Shabbat. How are we doing?